Hey guys, Steve here. Just before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you quickly about Benzen Video Productions. Do you have a business company website and you have written testimonials on it? Why not bring them to life with video? It's a great icebreaker to keep your clients in the loop via email and social media. Maybe you've got a new product you want to show off to your clients. Or maybe you've got a bigger presentation. You need a high class video to show potential clients what you can do. Why not use Benzen Video Productions to do that? They're Melbourne based with international experience working for the BBC, the Olympics. You can find them online at benzen.com.au. That's benzen.com.au.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody, the festive season is upon us. It's our last show for Christmas and New Year, so we're going to go out with a bang, talking tips and tricks for winning your league. And to do that, I got Steve Fizz to help me. Steve, how you doing, mate?
Doing good, Jono. Doing good because I feel like I'm about to win an annual debate.
And we're going to have this every year, aren't we?
We're going to have this every year, Jono, because Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
It is set on December 24th, therefore a Christmas movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. So where the movie is set dictates what movie it is. So is it a Los Angeles movie?
It's set in Los Angeles December 24th.
So it's not a bloody Los Angeles. Do I go down to... Well, I don't go down to the video shop anymore. No one bloody does. But do I look on iTunes and go, give me all the Los Angeles movies?
Well, they're all filmed in Los Angeles because that's where most of the films are filmed these days.
Well, I like watching a lot of Eastern European movies that are...
10 o'clock on SBS.
They might have to be that way, but it's an action movie. It's set on Christmas. I'll grant you that. What about Gremlins? Is Gremlins...
I haven't seen it in a long time. Is that Christmas?
Yeah, it's Christmas.
He gets Gizmo... Yeah, for Christmas. He gets a Christmas present in the movie.
It's not a Christmas movie.
I'd like to think so.
There's a third member of this show who I'm not sure we should take his opinion too seriously.
But I'm going to get his opinion on the Die Hard.
Well, it depends which side of the ledger he goes on.
Okay. Statesman, welcome to the show. And your thoughts on Die Hard as a Christmas movie?
Yes, it's a Christmas movie. And Brian Griffin had a cameo in it as well. and, of course, seeing I'm eating my salad and not my tacos... No doubt I'll be watching Love Actually as my Christmas movie as well.
Oh, my. How did you
get on the show?
Can I send you Mrs. Fizz? Is that a thing?
Well, there's his Christmas present.
I'll wrap her up. I'll send her down. No, wait.
Put her on the boat. Right.
No, I'm going down to your joint and I'm sending you back up here because...
Tassie's awesome.
Tassie is my jam. Oh, my. I can't believe an educated, sensible person...
Watches Love Actually.
Oh, well, that, but... Actually, you know...
Do you know what would be good about that movie?
Interesting crossover? Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Is the bad guy in both.
But what would make that movie even better? It's got the guy who plays Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead. Now, you bring Rick Grimes into Love Actually.
I don't watch this show.
Anyway, he's a cop-killing zombie. A zombie-killing cop.
Oh, so you watch some quality stuff there.
Yeah,
buddy.
You put Rick Grimes in Love Actually, just shooting people. I'm watching that film.
Well, I've seen Love Actually, and it's not my cup of tea. But yeah, Alan Rickman is the bad guy in both.
There you go. I've never seen Love Actually, so.
Well, Alan Rickman.
Cool.
Rest in peace.
May you rest in peace.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe that there's... Jono, look, bit of movie magic, people. We're recording this...
In November.
And it's hard rubbish in Frankston, and it's great. Get rid of all my crap.
Pick up other people's crap.
Well, people come shopping because it's November, but that people of Frankston understand it's holiday season.
Yes.
People of Frankston are poor.
There's a bargain to be had.
They don't want to spend money.
Nope.
That's your drinking money and your durry's money.
Well, that's how you get drinking money and durry money.
Go steal other people's stuff off their lawn.
Get a barbecue, polish it up, sell it for $100.
I'm told where the Statesman lives, there's no hard rubbish.
How could there be no hard rubbish? It's like a family affair down here. Like when you go look at the Christmas lights as a family, you go walk in the streets for hard rubbish.
You come back with a lamp.
Yeah, or something for the kids.
Maybe like a fish tank.
You
In Tasmania, we have culture, hence the salads and love, actually. So what we actually do is everything becomes an antique, and we actually just give it a spit and polish and then put a hefty price tag on it and put it in one of our shops.
And sell it to us Victorians.
Yeah, we don't know any better.
No. Some good old Tassie oak. Good wood. Good
but,
wood.
Big news this week, Jono. We're giving the listeners a big... present.
Yes, we're feeling generous being Christmas time. We are opening up the Listener League for 2017. But if you want to get involved with the Listener League, we just don't want you to send us a message on Twitter or Facebook or an email saying, I've won my league 65,000 times, da-da-da-da-da. No, we want it interesting. Make it fun, creative. Send us a short video of how you do your draft leagues. Send us a song. Just make it fun and interesting.
Yeah, create a meme. Write a story about how. Write a. You know what would be impressive to me?
Haiku
is a film review of how Die Hard is a goddamn action movie, not a Christmas movie at all. And that would assuredly get you into the Listener League. Look, the Listener League's a lot of fun. But whoever won the league last year, was it Shaky Chan won the league?
Believe so, yes.
Yeah, check your chance. You're invited back to the league.
Yes, the reigning champ gets an automatic invite.
But yeah, we don't want to know how good you are at fantasy. We're all fantastic, except for Joe. We get it. We're all awesome. But we want fun.
Yep.
It's about fun. We like sharing your creative endeavors and your stories of whatever. And I can promise you, if you get in, you'll be on the show and it will be a lot of fun.
Yes, you will actually be on the show. We'll talk about that a bit later. But if you want to send us in a video or a meme, a picture of anything, you can do that over our social media via Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or you can head over to Facebook, search us for The Draft Doctors there, or send us it in an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But today we are doing our tips and tricks show to help you win the draft. Just a brief rundown. Basically, our ideas of how we get things done. And to kick us off, Steve, what have you got, mate?
I've got the most basic tenet of winning a draft league, Jono, and that is you don't win your league at the draft.
That's true.
It just doesn't come any simpler than that. We all love draft day and participating in the draft, and it's there's a lot of build-up and a lot of hype, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Injuries happen. Role changes happen. Players emerge, players fall off. If you're playing in a league where position changes happen, they happen.
Yeah, coaches get sacked.
Okay. Using the waiver wire is incredibly, incredibly important. Maintaining position, whether you burn it, you knowing the players in your league, making the right pickups, watching trends. You know, last year, Bont and Pendles, they both started forward for the first month. The scores dropped off. We saw trades happen. You got them at a massive discount when they were drafted. They were played out of position. Towards the end of the year, we saw Heath Shaw being tagged. Todd Goldstein was playing injured for a lot of the year. You could have traded him out. Got a fantastic deal, maybe for Brody Grundy, who had a massive second half and something. Yep. You know, these trades happen if you're paying attention to the trends. Using matchups. We talked a lot about it last year, and I know you're going to talk about it today, Jono.
Yep.
Your fifth forward, just rolling it through.
One of the strategies I use.
Based on the matchups.
This year.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but based on matchups.
Yep.
And making trades in general. Like, I feel like there's so many things that happen over the course of a season. I know maybe you went into the draft and you come out of it. You lose your first couple of matches. It's not the end of the world.
No.
You know, you see...
You can trade your way out of trouble.
You can trade your way out of trouble. You can use...
the waiver wire.
Like the waiver wire. It's such... You know, and pay attention to resources. Like, you're obviously listening to our podcast. Keep listening to the podcast. We give out waiver tips each week. We give out trade tips each week. We write a column each week on trades and transactions to make. There's a number of different resources if you're playing salary caps that'll talk about... trades you can make for that particular format. And we also look at schedules coming up. Who's playing easy matches? We saw last year there was a particular point of the year, it was around the midpoint, where all the salary cappers were jumping over
Robbie Gray because he just had a good score and his break even was low. But if you went down even further, Jordan Lewis was cheaper and had a 10-match run of just gravy matchups. I personally traded him in, and he just went on an absolute tear. So, I mean, there's just things that happen over the course of the season that if you start off bad, can shift you around. Maybe you start off hot, and you can position yourself even better for a real tilt at the championship. Another one of those things is making trades, Jono.
And don't be afraid to trade. Like, someone makes you an offer, don't just flat out deny it. Come back at them with something.
I was giving you a segue.
Oh, okay. I'm still learning these segues, but if you would like to talk about trading, I think, Statesman, you're the one to do that for us.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. What I'm going to talk about is actually the art of trading, and that's trying to create the win-win trades, because everyone's going to have that guy in the league that's going to turn around and offer you Mav Weller to take Nick Riewoldt off your hands. That's the reality. There's one in every league. Sometimes there's three or four. Those type of people simply just don't get trades done. And I always use it as a bit of an art. Whenever you're communicating with someone with regards to a trade offer, give an explanation why you think it's beneficial, both for them and yourself, because that actually gives you room to negotiate of what each other wants. When you've finished your draft, and your point, Steve, right from the start, is you don't win your league by the draft. If I was to look at the listeners' league from last year, the actual after the draft, I would have said, I think I've got the strongest list. The reality is I didn't win the competition. Now, I would say the weakness that I actually did was I didn't trade enough, and I think there was only one official trade in the listener league, and I didn't cover those weak spots, which ended up being my forward line. And Josh Jenkins was in my forward line and was my captain loophole for the grand final and massed a massive 29 points, which obviously if I was relying on Josh Jenkins to give me a big score to win me a grand final, obviously I hadn't managed my team well enough throughout the year. So the art is, look at your list, look where your depth is. Now, you might have a Liam Shields sitting as your bench cover, and then another quality 90 to 95 scorer actually sitting outside your bench on your midfield. Well, that means you've got good midfield depth, and therefore you've got an argument to be able to give away, whether it be a Mitch Duncan, whether it be a Bryce Gibbs, to actually get something that is valuable in the forward or defence, depending on where your weakness is. Now, I always say, go and have a look where your strengths are and your opposition weaknesses are. Now, as soon as you find a team with a midfield weakness, if you've got the depth, then that's where you should be looking, well, where's their strength and does that cover my weakness? And that's where you start to get the win-win. And I'll go through a trade from actually this year's Listener League, which gives a really good example of this. It ended up being a three-player trade each. Now, identifying what they had, one of the players was missing a ruck and had a bit of weakness in the forward line. The other needed some midfield depth and needed a quality backman. So the trade that actually happened, which to me was a win-win, was Jordan Lewis, Jared McVeigh, and Dave Mundy. So we're talking a M2 in Jordan Lewis, an M4 or 5 with Dave Mundy, with an arguably defender 1, 2, or 3. Certainly in previous years he would have been a D1, but Jared McVeigh has been on the slow decline. And that was traded for a Mark Blickas, who averaged 86 and was the top six ruckman. Steve Motlop, who obviously gave him a potential high scorer in the forward line. We know there's a lot of ups and downs with him. And to cross over, because there was a bit of quality that went the other side, Rory Sloane in the midfield. So you got back one midfielder. So the argument would have been, I shore up my ruck, I potentially get a high scorer in my forward line, and I get an elite midfielder for giving you two midfielders and potentially one of the highest scoring backmen. To me, that's a win-win trade. Now, we know injuries can pop up. We know form can pop up. Certainly in the case of Motlop and McVay, that certainly happened to both of them this year. But they got one each. So the risk was taken away, and they both built depth in the areas that they were weaker in. Win-win and negotiating and actually making sure you give a description and the reasons why it is a win-win trade is the way you'll be able to trade really well. And realise if you're going to get something good, then you actually have to give something good away.
Yeah, wise words. Wise words. We all hate that person who comes after our gun player offering maybe the flavour of the week.
Or a potential waiver wire free agent.
Well, yeah, and it's great. Great advice, Statesman, especially when you're looking to make deals. Give them something good. Give them something that's interesting. Even if it's maybe not fair value, at least it gets the conversation going.
And that's what I really love. Get the conversation going. Don't just surprise someone with a trade. Give them that reason, because there's nothing more that I hate where it just pops up, player X for player B, with no explanation as to why. I'm going to talk about the screaming of players, which Steve alluded to a little bit earlier. Basically, what that means is they're a week-to-week proposition where you might look at a player who averages a high number against a team. A perfect example is that was Jack Darling for West Coast Eagles. Averaged 94 against the Western Bulldogs. And so this year, I tried a tactic where I would just stream a fifth forward each week. I thought, yep, Jack Darling, he's the go-to guy, 94 against the Western Bulldogs, get me a win. It's hit and miss, I'll admit that. Jack Darling didn't have the best of seasons, but it can work. Zach Tui, I did the same thing, streamed him for a little bit, but seemed to hit a bit of goal with him because he ended up scoring quite well. Also look at teams that might be weak in defence, a la Brisbane Lions. I mean, if Johnny Butch can turn up, then you're on a winner there. So Johnny Butch, 1 week in, get rid of him. So teams that particularly use the ball bad there. And also, if you're looking to stream a player that might have a 1 to 2 week injury.
Yeah, look, we talked streaming players a lot on the show last year. I don't think it's something that's really been spoken about particularly a lot in Australian fantasy football, because look, Joe or all our listeners who are regulars of our show know I'm a really big NFL fantasy player. That's one of my big passions. But streaming positions in that is more prevalent because there's two, well, there's actually four onesie positions where there's only one player in each position. Whereas in Australia, it's really the rucks that are the onesie position.
Yep.
But we looked at streaming your forwards last year, especially. I know we mentioned using your plug-in players for guys like Zach Tui who were playing a team that turned the ball over and so forth. But I felt like we had quite a good deal of success streaming forwards last year.
Joe Danaher.
Well, I'm going to say we streamed Reece Palmer
a
few times early in the year. And when we're using a guy like that, we're looking for an 85+.
Yeah.
And we got it a lot of the time. Like, we saw Brisbane were historically weak and key forwards just blew it up. Like you mentioned, Johnny Butch. In consecutive weeks, John Butcher and Levi Casbolt, we recommended them both.
And they went full hand.
And they both tonned up. I mean, you can't draft these guys.
No.
They're not guys you can hold on to over a season.
No.
But in the right matchup, no one's going to waiver for them. But no,
that's right.
You're going to be able to find these guys like Josh Bruce. He's going to be usable. Tom Hickey's going to be usable.
Tim Membry.
Yeah, exactly. All these guys are going to be usable. Tom Hawk, one of our favourites, he's not really rosterable unless you've got a deep bench, but he's absolutely streamable in the right matchup. So, Jono, your point's absolutely well taken. And I feel like the listeners who stayed with us all through the season absolutely know about that.
And got some good value.
Absolutely got some good value. My next tip to the people is stay connected. And this is a huge tip. Use Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. All the fantasy footy resources out there, as soon as an injury happens, as soon as something breaks, they all retweet it. We generally don't retweet because I don't want to spam you with something that everyone else has retweeted. Because if you're following us, you're following someone else who's retweeted it. But stay ahead of the news. If you know, Harley Benell's landed on the front page of a
Tasmanian newspaper.
Anyway, no, but follow the right people on Twitter as well. And look, there's a lot of people. I'm going to give you a quick list. Fantasy Freako, Champion Data, The Phantom, Dream Team Talk, Super Footy, Super Profit, various news sites, reporters. Just follow all these resources.
Even the footy teams themselves.
Even the footy teams, absolutely. And the players. The players are on there as well. Maybe if you're a Demon supporter, Christian Petrarca is very active.
Likes his basketball.
They probably won't give you give much away, but you know they'll certainly tweet out news. You certainly find out so much more information that way. Just be connected. And also, it comes back to Statesman's points before about negotiating win-win trades. If you're connected, be on Facebook and set up a league page on Facebook. How often, Jono, do people put players up for trade on our...
On the page.
Yeah, and you might be able to... Matt Fife's up for trade. Shoot me a message if you're after a struggling midfielder.
Mm.
It's just the point of staying connected. Be ahead of the curve. We live in the information age. Be informed.
And it's also a great way to have fun with your league mates.
Well, it is. Sometimes
it goes too far.
Well, when it's the jokes at my expense, it's too far. When it's at everyone else's, it's just right.
Okay.
Fair. No, I'm just joking.
Statesman, your second tip.
Yeah, my second tip is waiver wire emergency pre-lockout games. So if you're in a league that locks out on its first game on the Saturday, it gives you games sometimes on the Thursday, but nearly every week on the Friday night, where you can actually take a punt and putting someone as your emergency that might be left field selection that you can pick off straight off the waiver wire. Now, giving you a couple examples this year, Braden, I hope I pronounce this correct, Farini, is that correct?
Close.
Scored 166 points. 166 points for the Gold Coast. Now, that was in preliminary final week. So you have the ability to actually bank away basically the worth of two midfield scorers just on one player sitting on your waiver wire. So all of a sudden, you pull out the most riskiest midfielder, put a long-term injury and put the him on the field, and all of a sudden you get that 166 points. But it doesn't just happen in the midfield. Jack Grimes, when he played in Northern Territory this year, scored 140 points. He would have been sitting on the waiver wire. It was his first game for the year. Adam Marcone, Riley Bonner, Rupert Wills, they all did the same thing where you could get a 100-point scorer straight off the bat on the first game of the weekend, and all of a sudden you're pushing through. So nearly every week I will delist the bottom end of my list and actually put four players sitting on my emergencies that are all playing the first game, and it's every single one of them's a punt, but I also know I'm getting a secure emergency player because I know they're playing that night. So you get them squared away, there's no risks, and there's a great opportunity to get a great reward. Normally I would say probably one each weekend that I accept their score. For a midfielder, I make sure they get over a ton. For the defenders or forwards, if they get over 80, it's normally good enough to remove my D or F5 or 6, depending on the size of your league. And that just ensures you've got a great start to the weekend, and you can start ranking up the points against your opposition.
Yeah, look, we wholeheartedly enjoy the ultimate footy ability to lock out at the first Saturday game.
Yep.
I think that's fantastic. And certainly the other formats, maybe they don't offer that same flexibility, but I love that flexibility. And certainly if you're an avid player, you should be taking advantage
especially when you've got six Thursday night games next year.
Kaboom. Who's that?
The AFL is playing six Thursday night games next year.
Oh, I thought there was one team that was playing six.
No. Oh, they might be playing all six. I haven't seen the draw. But
are you playing on Thursday night?
Yeah, why not?
Who do you play for?
The Sandful Giants.
The dead team. If you're playing on... Jono likes to recommend? Whatever the word is, go back in time and tell us how he was the lockdown defender. I get the feeling I'd be streaming a few forwards against Jono.
Yeah. I was a defender in my sporting days.
I actually think you'd...
Quite a horrible one.
I think you'd stream the forward who was playing against you and go in the tank.
Shh. Well, I did play soccer in my junior days. I was the goalkeeper, and we were 3-0 down before I went to goal. We lost 10-0. I got my dad to put some money on the other team.
It's a family business.
It is. But my next tip is dual position players. I love me a dual position player, Steve. The advantage is it opens up your team greatly. A bit of an example of this. Matt Suckling was a defender forward in Supercoach this year. You would have recruited him as a defender, but he had a pretty good start to the year. He was averaging in the 90s. So you thought, oh, well, grab someone else off the waiver wire. Who's doing okay, say Zach Tui as a defender, and then you slot Matt Suckling to play as that fourth or fifth forward for you until you can find someone better. So it opens up there. It helps with your injuries. If, say, again, I'll use the Matt Suckling, even though he did get injured. Say you got the injury in your forward line, swing Matt Suckling there, bring someone off the waiver wire, insert there. Also, helps with your backup on the bench. Like if you've got a decent backup, you can swing them in there too. Also, buy rounds. The murder of the buy rounds. If you're weak, again, using Matt Suckling as the example, if you're missing a lot of players in your forward line, you can bring him in just to give it a bit more strength. And then, again, use players off your bench to insert in that other position if not missing. So it just gives you greater flexibility throughout your whole team.
Yeah, that's... That's a great point you raised about the bye weeks. Obviously, they can cause havoc. But I think you missed actually a golden opportunity. Do you know ruck forwards?
Love the ruck forwards.
If you can get a ruck forward, you can come out a la a Scott Lysette.
Giles.
Or whoever, and just blow it up as a ruck forward. Maybe you've drafted a ruck early. And someone else has gone down, like a Nick Nat went down.
Yep.
And you can trade your ruck and know you've got another one there to slot in. You found a forward, you can, or maybe you want to play like Jono said and roll the dice and stream a fifth forward every week. There's a lot, it gives you a lot of flexibility.
Mm. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so that's, and it creates depth. It just provides you more opportunities to win your league.
Yeah, exactly right. I wouldn't recommend getting every player is a DPP, but...
No. And there's certain players because, like last year, if you drafted, let's say Zach Merritt as a forward, and he's forward midfielder, you're not going to be playing him in the midfield.
No.
That's
crazy talk. Yeah. But again, over those bye rounds, plug him in. Steve, your last tip for us, please.
Yeah, my last tip is... Really just one that's so incredibly valuable. I think it's probably the biggest draft day tip I could give anyone. And that is actually tiering your players. We all love the big... people in general love lists. Mm-hmm. Give me your top 30 movies, give me your top...
Well, Die Hard would be at the top on that one in Christmas movies.
But it's not a Christmas movie, so it's not relevant. It's probably not bloody Love Actually either, to be honest. Actually, what about Elf? Come on.
What, with Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell.
I haven't seen that for a long time.
That's funny. Anyway, what I'm saying is you tier your players on draft day. We all love a list. And we've got, actually in 2 weeks, we've got our top 30 Dream Team Ultimate Footy show coming up, which is a special present to you, listener.
Because it's Jono Free.
Jono Free. It feels like there's one too many people on this show. But look, we all have a list, and people generally love lists, and that's why websites make lists to make you click on it. But the lists you should be concerning about isn't your top 50 overall or your top 100 overall. Break that down into positions. Take your forwards, take your defenders, take your rucks, take your midfielders. Now break them down into who you really feel are the elite of the elite. There might be 3 defenders,
yep.
4 defenders, 3 or 4 forwards. Last year for me, this is a perfect example. Last year I had 2 rucks, 4 forwards, 4 midfielders, and I had 1 defender. I was pick 9. 7. No, I was pick 9, sorry. The 4 midfielders were gone. The defender was gone. The rucks were gone. Now, I could break and choose a midfielder because there's more points. But I looked at my tiers and I go, there's still players there. I can take Dustin Martin. I've got him at the top of my list. Bang. Cam's background. There was forwards taken. But I've still got a top tier forward. Lee Montagna. Bang. I've got him. I've got two of the best forwards going around. And then it comes back. And sure enough, I get one of my tier two
Midfielders.
Yeah. So you're getting more quality into your team by doing that. And you're not second guessing. So say there's a run of rucks.
Mm.
Okay, especially a run of rucks. If you see it happen in league after league, you know, you might have, this year I think I've got four in my top tier. Grundy, Goldstein, Martin, and...
Mumford, Sandy, Sauce.
Gone. No,
gone. Okay, those are the top four. They could be gone by the time I get to my second pick. Now, am I going to waste my time drafting Sauce Jacobs because I panic?
Mm.
Not going to happen. No way. No way, Jose. Because I've still got so many first-tier players. You just create more depth to your team. You're really trusting your preseason rankings. You don't get caught up in runs.
The hype. Yeah.
You don't get caught up in runs. And you'll find yourself, generally, you want to, when you get through the middle stages of your draft, you generally want to get the last player in each tier. Say you might be coming up to your round seven, your seventh pick, and it comes back to you in, say, five more. Well, there might be, say, four midfielders there, but only one forward. You can grab that forward, and there's every chance that one of those tiered midfielders you have makes it back to you. So you get the best of both worlds.
Mm.
It just creates a better team and a better draft day for you. Generally have a good season, as long as you pay attention to our other tips.
Yes, my last tip is your captain loophole. So it's going back to the Thursday, Friday night game option and trying to select a player playing in those games that's on your list that you can put the vice captain on. Now, it's the old risk reward, but if that player scores really well, I try and generally base it on Dream Team scoring, that if they go over the 120, then you lock that score in so you don't get a Tommy Rockcliffe getting injured on 4 points and hurting the rest of your weekend. You get your 120 points squared away times by two. You bring in a player that's on the long-term injury list, take out your most risky player and replacing them, and actually put the C on the injured player, and therefore you actually, your vice captain becomes your captain. I'll use the example, although it didn't work well for me in the listener grand final, but if everyone remembers the last game, home and away game, or home and away round, it was Adelaide versus West Coast, and it was Josh Jenkins that I put my hopes on for Adelaide. Unfortunately, he scored 53, so obviously on Friday night I moved my captain to Luke Parker. Unfortunately, that one didn't work out either. Luke Parker only scored 83. If we remember, Sydney didn't play well. But they're the type of things that you can create. And quickly looking at that grand final game, unfortunately, I lost to We Got Big Cox by exactly 180 points. And I'll tell you, the worst point scorer for me was James Aish with 17 points. Who'd been tearing it up in defence, so he was a waiver wire pickup, and the opposition's best player was Nick Riewoldt, who got the double ton, 200 points. So that was a nice square off in individuals. I got 7 tons in my grand final team. He only got 4, which did include his captain being Brody Grundy. So it just shows you at the end of the day, you can have the best list but not win the game. And those type of things, and obviously James Aish was an injury in the last game, unfortunately. Been playing really well leading up to that. But I also noticed that my emergencies were all West Coast and Adelaide players. So the tip that I'd done before had Shannon Hearn in defence, scored 83. I took that. I just wish I took James Aish out. Cam Ellis-Yolman scored 68. I didn't take those. Jonathan Giles, it was sitting on the waiver wire. If you remember, all the ruckmen were out. Scored 90, so I actually took that. And Jack Darling scored 79. I didn't accept that, although three of my forwards didn't get to Jack's score. So it gave you a bit of security. It gave you a reasonably good backup. But Nick Riewoldt v. James Aish, it was over at about the fifth goal.
It was about half time, I think.
Yeah, but what the statesman's talking about is correct. And I think we commented on the podcast when we recapped the listener league that we both actually thought he drafted the best.
Well, that's true.
But fantasy football finals aren't about having the best team. They're about having the best team on the day.
Yeah.
And a hell of a lot of luck goes into that.
And going back to that captain loophole as well, to a point you said, Steve, stay connected. A lot of people follow the journalists. They'll put their vice-captain loophole picks, who they think's going to be pretty good, and they're generally pretty good picks of what they've gotten. They work out most of the time. But also in that, if you say, perfect example, round one, it's always Carlton, Richmond.
Sure.
Dusty Martin. Everyone's going, hey, Dusty Martin's up for a good year. Dusty Martin scores putrid. Well, not putrid, but it's not great against Carlton. So look at the matchup as well when you're doing your captain loophole.
The matchups are everything. And we often retweet, I don't want to take their
thunder.
Superfooty tweet out matchup scores based on Supercoach.
Yeah.
During the year, we relay these scores. We use them in our own streaming picks. We give you our late pickups every week. We use those.
Yeah.
We're not being rocket scientists about this. We're
sharing the information.
We're using good players who are available, who have the opportunity to score well against the opposition. But what you spoke about, Jono, is your last point, I believe.
Yeah, and it's similar to Steve's at the start of the show. Back your gut. If you're sitting there on the clock...
You don't want to listen to my gut.
Mine after some minced nachos.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
If you're there on the clock and you've got a choice out of Max Gawn or Brody Grundy, pretty both good for scoring ruckman, you're going to think for next year, go with who you like. Go with who you think's going to be the better player. Don't sit there umming and ahhing. You're going to back your judgment. Your judgment, your first thought, whatever pops in your head, is generally going to be the right one. So just go with it, and it puts you in good stead for the rest of the season. I remember our first league of records when we did our draft. I just backed my judgment and seemed to draft a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think what you said is right, Jono. And one thing I would say is, and it's what I've alluded to over our Burn Man and our Don't Draft and Sleepers and all that, there's guys I'm willing to be wrong on.
Yeah.
And there's guys I'm not willing to be wrong on. And that's back in my gut.
And everyone knows that 80% of statistics are made up, and I think it's 32% of people can confirm that.
Steve's doing the math.
Don't open my head. Wait a minute. Let's go here. Where's my calculator? Where's my phone? Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Look, it's all good. I know that wraps up our show, but can I just give out one little quick sneaky tip?
Ooh.
I know it's a bonus for the listeners out there. They love a bonus.
Yep.
And that is just be careful the articles you read, because most of them are geared towards salary cap format. Just because someone's a value in draft doesn't in salary cap doesn't mean they're a value in draft.
David Swallow, people. Well, he's going to be the hot ticket item over the summer.
But your recent draftees like your Ben Ainsworth,
McCluggage,
and so forth. It's a high likelihood that they're not
unless they tear it straight off the bat. Then,
but it's unlikely that they're even going to produce at a level of say your Andrew Swallow, your Ben Cunnington, no. Who were what we could consider undraftable.
Yeah. That wraps up the show for this week. Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook and search The Draft Doctors there, or send us an email to why Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie ever to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
I'm pretty sure it's at notachristmasmovie.com.
Okay. I don't know what I said then.
Alrighty.
Alright. From the Draft Doctors, we wish everyone a happy Christmas and safe New Year, and we will see you in 2017 when we are docking footy.
But please, get those Listener League entries in.
Yes.
This is your time to shine, people.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.